Katrina Parker here, and I am doing this bonus episode about the Golden Con. It's the very first Golden Girls convention that I got to go to a couple weeks ago. And with me, I have my friend Hillary, who I actually met at Golden Con of all places. And like now she's just like one of the best people I've ever met. And we talk all the time now. And we're just going to give you a nice recap. So how are you doing today, Hillary?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to you. Any excuse to talk to you, I'm happy.
Oh. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm originally born and raised in New York from Manhattan, but now I live out near San Diego, just north in Carlsbad, California, in the nice sunny weather. I'm a lawyer, which makes me sound super boring, but that's just my day job. I love to play soccer. I love to go shopping. I love to talk to my friends. I love television shows, movies, board games. And I spend a lot of time carting my two little kids around to different activities.
Yeah. So who are some of your own quirky icons and real or fictional?
So let's see. I think my first icon when I was little was Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. I remember ever since I was little, I was a total ball of energy bouncing off the walls. My mom used to make me do jumping jacks before I went to bed or I wouldn't sleep. So I always loved Tigger and his positive attitude. I like to think I've maintained some of that, though. As I've gotten older, I've gotten a little bit more sarcastic. Another one definitely I used to get a lot when I was younger was Rhoda. From the show Rhoda, partly because of my voice, probably. I have kind of a raspy voice. I always have. Marge Simpson was another one I would get. But in terms of choosing, I mean, part of the reason I love the Golden Girls, Bea Arthur has always been a huge idol for me, both her character on the show and just as a person, you know, strong woman, funny, biting personality, sarcastic, confident are all things that I look up to. So I'd have to say she was probably one of the best of all time idols of mine and always will be.
Okay, cool. So how did you come to love the Golden Girls? Everybody has their own like story. What's your story? How did you?
Sure. Well, so it actually came out a year after I was born. So I was real little, but I started watching it from a very young age. I mean, my earliest memory is 3 and 4 watching with my grandma, which is the story everybody has, right? Even at Golden Con. You know, young or old, woman or man, every background, you hear the same story. I used to watch it with grandma, but I distinctly remember sitting by the feet of her rocking chair and she would watch it on TV. And it was just this kind of warm memory of spending time with her. And she would laugh. And half the time when I was, you know, 3 and 4, I didn't even know why I was laughing, but I would just start laughing.
Yeah.
So I started watching it. And then as I got older, you know, I started watching the reruns. I started understanding a little more and it just kind of became this staple, this thing that whenever it was on, whenever I caught it on TV, I always had it there. And I remember my grandma was actually, my mom's side was Italian and my grandma was from Sicily where Sophia was from. And my grandma used to get so mad when Sophia would make mafia jokes or jokes about Italians. She'd say, "We're not all in the mafia. What is this?" But yet she'd keep watching it and she loved it. So yeah, it's always, it's just, you know, one of those things that like a smell, you know, it just reminds you of childhood whenever you see it. And that's what I think of when I think of the show.
Yeah. It's interesting how, like, I learned that both Estelle Getty and Bea Arthur, they were actually of Jewish heritage, but then they were playing Italian. And I think maybe at one point they had thought about making them both Jewish. I'm like, that would have been cool if they would have explored that. But
yeah, for sure. I mean, it's funny, you know, my mom's side is Italian. My dad's side was Jewish. I'm Jewish. You know, my mom met and married my dad, but she was raised in a Italian household. And there's a lot of overlap, a lot of similarities. I like to say lots of food, lots of, you know, loving your family, lots of guilt, right? So there is a big overlap. So I definitely can see that. And Estelle Getty, as you said, you know, she was Jewish, but similar, you know, you look at Seinfeld, you look at the character of George on Seinfeld, and George is by far the most like Larry David in real life is Jewish, but George is Italian on the show. But, you know, he's way more Larry David than Jerry ever was. So it's interesting how there is an overlap between the two and there's sort of similarities in that way.
Yeah. I know this again, different movies and shows, like the two heritages, like people will play the difference of each other. I'm just like, is that on purpose?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the Sophia angle, you know, having the referring back to Italy and, like I said earlier, the mafia jokes and all that, that's probably, you know, easier to poke fun at. And even though the Golden Girls pushed a lot of limits and talked about a lot of taboo issues, I think, you know, the mocking of the Italian culture was probably a little bit more palatable than mocking of the Jewish culture, perhaps, or maybe it could reach a wider audience and more people would understand it. So but I just distinctly remember my grandma sitting there and she'd, oh, she'd get so mad. And then she'd laugh and we'd move on.
So I think you kind of answered this earlier. So it sounds like Be After That's like the, is that the Golden Girl that you feel like you're the most like?
It's funny because I think that, you know, she's got the low voice. She's kind of distinctive. You know, growing up, I was more of a, I hate the word tomboy because I try not to say it's a boy thing or a girl thing, but I was always, you know, I was never super girly. And so I think Bea Arthur, the jokes about her being a handsome woman and this and that, I identify with some of that. But I think the great thing about the show is that, you know, even though they all have their distinct personalities, they are dynamic and you kind of can see yourself in all of them. Like there's definitely parts, Sophia for sure. I mean, she's super sarcastic. She likes to kind of drop a little grenade into a conversation and walk away. I'm the same way sometimes at certain points. And then Rose, you know, she's supposed to be, you know, she's not the brightest, but she's got a good heart. And I definitely, you know, she cares about her friends a lot. I definitely try to do that. And, you know, Blanche is outspoken and sassy. And so I think there's a little bit of everyone, you know, a little bit of them and everyone. But Bea Arthur is, I think, the one that I'm just the most drawn to because of her, I guess, her strength and that she is just kind of like the glue of that house in a lot of ways. And, you know, that's a characteristic that I can identify with and respect. Whether or not I live up to it, I don't know. I won't be that cocky, but it's something I respect and I ascribe to live up to.
Okay. So yeah, listeners, like if you listen to my first Golden Girls episode with Chels, I revealed that I'm mostly a Rose. Like I'm the Rose in my group of sisters and wherever I go. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm Rose.
But that's awesome. Rose is, you know, she's such a kind person and she is smart. She's smart. She's just smart in a different way. She sees people. She understands people. She's got this warmth that's just an emotional intelligence that I think, you know, a lot of people don't have. So I think that's a great character to be. And that's why we make good friends.
Yeah. So what are your favorite episodes?
So there's a lot, but I think the two, you know, I could watch the show and I have watched the show 1,000 times, pick up any episode from any part of the show, even the episodes that people don't love as much with some of the spinoff characters. I love them all, but I'd have to say probably one of my favorite. And what I actually found out was at the convention was Estelle Getty's favorite from her old assistant was the Alzheimer's episode, right? Where she meets Alvin on the beach and starts talking to him and befriends him. And then comes to find out that he's suffering from Alzheimer's. Actually, Dorothy talks to his daughter and finds out. And there's just something about the rawness of it, that this is a sitcom, right? I mean, there's jokes and it's still funny and there's parts that are, you know, still amusing and silly, but there's just this beautiful looking into the struggles, the real life struggles that people have. And I think, you know, Alzheimer's in particular, but even just dealing with people who are suffering and trying to, you know, stay strong for them and be their friends is something we can all identify with. So that's for sure one. My other favorite, both tearjerkers, which usually I like funny things, is obviously the last episode.
Just
the part where Dorothy keeps trying to leave and coming back in. You know, she goes out, they think she's gone, and then she comes back in one way, and then she goes back out, and then she comes back in the other way, and then she leaves again. And you think she might come back in and she's gone. She's moved on to her, you know, new marriage and new life. I love that, you know, and you know in your heart that they'll stay friends and that they'll always be friends in the magical universe of the Golden Girls that lives on in our hearts. But it gets me every time. So I think those are probably my favorite two, I guess the two that I find the most emotional that I connect with. But really, like I said, you could put on any episode and I would be ready to quote it and sing along with the same song and know what's going to happen next. Any single one. So
like, there's no episode that you're like, oh, skip.
No, I know. I mean, to me, the whole, that's part of the reason I love the show. You know, my husband is actually a huge Frasier fan and we always argue because Frasier's a good show too. I didn't watch it growing up like he did, but you know, he insists it's this great show. And I always tell him the difference is the Golden Girls never jumped the shark, right? It never got silly. It never, it touched on it. Like I said, some of the spin-off, you know, the spin-off episodes with the extra characters were a little silly, but in the end of the day, it kept its composure and it started strong and it ended just as strong, if not stronger. Whereas I feel like a lot of sitcoms, they don't cut it off when they should. And they, you know, like with Frasier, they got the two, Niles and Daphne together. And then that was when it kind of went downhill for me. So I always win that argument because I say every time, yes, but the Golden Girls ended on a high note and it ended, it was hard that it ended, but it ended in a perfect place and it never got silly. So.
Okay.
That's my strong, firm opinion. And I will fight anyone who disagrees. Even at Golden Con, I, you know, some people were saying, oh, I didn't like this episode and that episode and, you know, to each his own, but like I said, the worst episode of the Golden Girls is still better than any other show on TV. So.
That's good. Like, I'll have to come to you when a friend of mine, Alex Bourdain, he was on my Community episode, and awesome. He's starting a new podcast where I have to like try to convert him to something. And,
got it.
I'm supposed to be converting him to be a fan of the Golden Girls. So I'm going to have to go to you, a lawyer, for some talking.
You got it. Okay. I will be there ready to go. I could write a treatise on why it's the best show ever. So yeah. If all my papers in college were about the Golden Girls, I would have aced it without trying.
That's awesome. So tell us about like just some of the ways that you stay connected to the show, because like you've done a couple different things. So like just tell us about that.
Sure. So, you know, I've always, like I said, I've always watched it. And it was always kind of part of my life. It was playing in the hospital room when my kids were born. But and I was always, it was always this quirky thing, right? Whenever someone asks you at work for a quirky fact about yourself, mine was always the Golden Girls. But then a couple of years ago, I found out that they were having the first ever Golden Girls fan cruise. And of course, every single person I've ever met in my life found my number and texted me, right? They might forget my birthday, my anniversary, but anything about the Golden Girls, everybody remembers to text Hillary first. So all these people were sending me information that they were going to have this Golden Girls fan cruise. And so the minute I found out about it, I said, I absolutely have to do this. Like, this is going to be the most amazing thing ever. So I signed up and my sister and I went on the first sailing of Golden Fans at Sea, which I highly recommend. Mm-hmm. And it was just awesome. It was just so fun to kind of get together something that had been this big part of my life and this kind of fun connection, you know, meeting people at the supermarket who liked the show or someone at work who liked the show, but the whole, you know, group of people who love the show. So that was really great. And that was actually, we got back the week before COVID and then the world shut down. So those memories lasted me the entire 2 years from the cruise. And then during COVID, you know, my neighborhood out here in California, the big holiday here is Halloween. So, you know, people decorate their house for Christmas, they put up some lights, but Halloween is huge and people will drive an hour, 2 hours to come see our neighborhood's houses for Halloween. So I had, you know, would sometimes put out a pumpkin or two or a sign. I never really got super into it because I was intimidated. These people had turned their houses into pirate ships and the entire set of Ghostbusters and all these movie theaters. And it was crazy. So over COVID, I decided I was going to participate. And the only thing obviously I was ever going to be motivated to do was the Golden Girls. So I had seen a funny t-shirt that someone had been wearing on the cruise of the Golden Ghouls. And I thought, that would be a cool thing to do for Halloween. So I decided to decorate my house for the Golden Girls. So I spent a couple of weeks having fun going to vintage stores, finding outfits for all four of my skeletons, super gluing wigs and configuring jewelry onto them, and setting up the front of my house as the Golden Ghouls. And it was a huge hit. You know, I posted a couple of pictures online and my Facebook wasn't public, but a bunch of people took them and reposted them. And so when I saw that, I reached out to them and it made it public and they tagged me. And I think it ended up having over like 30 or 40,000 shares for this Halloween house. So I'll definitely be doing it again this year and building upon it. I've been thinking about little plays on words and things I'm going to add to it. I'm super excited.
That's awesome. So how did you hear about the first ever Golden Con? Was it kind of like the cruise that people were texting you about it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a member of a bunch of Golden Girls fan pages too. Mm-hmm. So, I can't remember if I saw it quickly first or somebody had sent me a message about it, but, you know, right when they announced it, I started getting again like, oh, did you hear about this? And same thing. Absolutely. So I immediately signed up for the Facebook group and I got all the notifications and then, you know, counted down the hours they had posted when the tickets would be on sale. And I asked my sister to come again because we had so much fun on the cruise and it's kind of turned into our little thing we do together. She wasn't even a huge fan growing up like I was, but she loves fandom. She loves old Hollywood. And so she had come on the cruise with me just for fun and had so much fun. She's gotten totally into the show too. So, yeah, the minute I saw it, I said, this is what I'm doing. You know, I don't care. It was my kid's spring break. I said to my husband, too bad, you'll figure it out. And we booked our tickets and off we went.
Yeah.
So, was Golden Con what you expected it to be?
It was. I mean, it was super fun. You know, I think I will say this. I think the cruise had a little bit more interactive activities, which at first when I saw the schedule for Golden Con, I thought, oh, it's not going to be as interactive. You know, they had talent shows and all that. Mm-hmm. But I actually liked Golden Con was a lot more focused on panels and, you know, just different people from the show. And that was actually super cool. So I was really excited that it ended up having a lot more just different people come talk about the actresses' lives, talk about how the show was made, mm-hmm. You know, bring props from the show. It was definitely more geared towards sort of that and learning about different aspects of the show that you might not have known about. But I think they managed to also intersperse some fun activities like they had a disco one night, a dance that was really fun, where they had a costume contest and everything. And I think one of your sisters won.
Yes.
You guys were amazing. You guys had the best costumes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you all should have won. But I think once one of you went up, then they felt like they had to spread the wealth. But all of you were amazing. Yeah. So I think that was nice that they had that. But I think when I first signed up for it before they had the schedule, I just figured it would almost be like a repeat of the cruise in some ways, but on mm-hmm. land. Right. And it would be, you know, they would have a pub crawl or whatever they did. But I actually appreciated that they really took the time to figure out lots of different interesting panels. And it wasn't, you know, just, you know, one-off characters from the show. They had some of the assistants, like I mentioned before, were there of some of the actresses. And that was really neat because they just stood there and talked to you, you know, they had them out there on the floor and you were able to ask questions and, you know, Bea Arthur and Estelle Getty's assistants had some crazy stories about their mm-hmm. lives. So I really, really liked that. And I also, the vendors mart was super cool having all the Golden Girls memorabilia and just different totes and shirts. And God, I could have blown my entire month's paycheck there. So I think, yeah, I know. So I think when I signed up, you know, it had Golden Girls in it. So I was going to do it no matter what it was, some mm-hmm. sort of convention. But I thought I actually liked that it was really informative and that I got to learn some mm-hmm. things that I didn't know and also see some video footage, right? Bea Arthur's assistant had brought some footage of her that had never been seen. So I thought that was, as a, you know, true fan who doesn't just love the show, but loves the actresses on the show and the causes mm-hmm. they stood for and the different work that they've done throughout their careers, I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. For me, like, it kind of was what I expected it to be, just because mm-hmm. like, I've gone to different, like, just comic book convention. So I was like, okay, right. It's going to be a comic book convention for the Golden Girls. And they did a really great job. And like, I remember, so I'll post pictures of this, everyone, but like my sisters and I convinced them to come with me to this. And not only that, but like dress up with me. And I came up with the idea. I'm like, we're going to do Henny Penny. Like mm-hmm. we have to do Henny Penny. and we all picked our Golden Girls character that were like, and did it. And they were later like, I didn't think so many people would want to take pictures with this. I'm like, oh no, I knew.
That's why you did it, right?
And we ended up being in, we took pictures with a lot of people, and we ended up being in the New York Times for an article, which was awesome. Like, I actually like framed it for my sisters for Mother's Day, like the articles awesome. That I could find. And you were in a couple of news articles too, right?
I was, yeah, the first day. I also, that was one thing I didn't expect, was that not everybody was in costume. I just assumed you're going to go to a fan convention of the Golden Girls. You could mm-hmm. wear fabulous 80s clothing. Why wouldn't you, right? It seemed like a no-brainer to me. I love costumes. That's why Halloween's my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
So I think that was one shocker. But yeah, the first day my sister and I were just walking around. We were in full costume, just as Dorothy and Blanche, you know. Mm-hmm. Not a particular episode, just fabulous 80s clothes I found at this cool vintage store and wigs. And my sister's pregnant, so she ended up being Blanche this time. She had been Sophia on the cruise, but she was Blanche because we thought pregnant Blanche was hysterical because the episode where she thinks she's pregnant, right? And she's going through mm-hmm. menopause, and also, you know, better late than pregnant when they did the show. So, and a lady approached us and started talking to us and asked to take our picture and ask some questions. So we ended up being on a bunch of articles throughout the Associated Press, which was really cool, you know, there's a picture of me too, when they did an article on the first cruise in CNN, and you could see my sister and I in the background, and then obviously my Halloween house. And now this, I feel like the three times I've ever had any little bit of fame in my life have been for my love of the Golden Girls, not saving children or donating to charity, but whatever, you know what, you take it where you can get it. Mm-hmm. So, we also, but yours is so cool. And, you know, New York Times is my hometown paper, and you guys were fantastic. By far the best costumes I saw you guys. The minute I saw you, the four of you, I said, I need to be friends with them. They are my kind of people.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if it was you, but someone was like, I always knew where you guys were because I just followed the feathers.
The feathers. Exactly. Exactly.
I still have feathers in my car right now.
I'm sure you do. It's feathers and glitter are two things that don't come out easy, mm-hmm. but it was really, really neat. There are a lot of Golden Girls t-shirts, people wearing those, you know, everyone brought out their best Golden Girls t-shirts, and some were super, you know, innocuous references. Like one guy had a shirt that said magenta on it, right? That was the whole shirt from, you know, mm-hmm. the episode with Blanche, and just fun stuff like that, people getting creative. But I was surprised that there weren't more costumes. You know, I'm in San Diego, and so, and I work in downtown San Diego whenever Comic-Con is in town. People. Yeah. So if you love comic book conventions, you'll have to come stay with me and go to Comic-Con. I always
wanted to go, but we will talk after the show.
We will. I've never been inside. The tickets, you know, they're hard to get the tickets. Mm-hmm. But they have a lot of stuff outside as well. And so every year, the past couple of years that they hadn't had it as big, and now it's hopefully, you know, going to be fully back. But during work, you know, at lunch when Comic-Con was going on, I would walk over just down the street over by the convention center, and, you know, just everybody's in costumes. Mm-hmm. So I did expect, I think, more people to be in costume, but it did make it fun for those of us, like your sisters and me and my sister, that we were some of the only ones in costume, because we also got the, can we take a picture with you, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So, but otherwise it was pretty much what I expected. And I loved it. And I talked to the one of the guys who put it together. I said, you know, how awesome it was. And the only suggestion I would have is maybe to add a little bit more, like the disco was really fun, or a little bit more interactive stuff next time, just because I think that's super fun for people to do. But honestly, it was perfect the way it was as well.
Yeah. So tell us about what's some of the merchandise that you got there.
Oh boy. I just kept on finding stuff, right? Like you get there the first day and you walk in, you're like, oh, I have to have this t-shirt. So I got a, you know, Hi, It's Me, Stan t-shirt, because I didn't have one of those. Uh-huh. And I've always wanted one. And my sister's big idol is Barbara Stanwyck, who's an old Hollywood actress. And I've always joked that we're going to make a shirt that says Hi, It's Me, Stanwyck on it to meld our love of the Golden Girls and Barbara Stanwyck. Uh-huh. I got a couple other t-shirts, one with Bea and Estelle, you know, the episode where they dress up as Sonny and Cher, which is also one of my other favorite episodes. Mm-hmm. And we have done those costumes before, my sister and I. So I got a mug with some funny Betty White quotes, keychains. I mean, I kept buying stuff. And finally by day, like 4 hours into day one, I was like, okay, Hillary, you got to calm down. You only have one suitcase. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of the vendors too, you can find them online. So I took down some of their information and, you know, I will probably throughout the year when I feel like I need a Golden Girls fix, order myself something. I will say though, you probably know this too, being a Golden Girls fan or a fan of anything, any holiday, any birthday, any Mother's Day tomorrow, I can guarantee you I will get Golden Girls presents. I have repeats of, you know, 6 of the Mad Libs and 4 of the coloring books, and people love to get me Golden Girl stuff, which is great. But that was the neat thing is some of these vendors had stuff that was I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just what you find on Amazon and not that I don't appreciate my friends for trying, but you know, mm-hmm. amateur go on Amazon, order a Golden Girls thing, I probably have it, right? So mm-hmm. they had some really cool just you know, all kinds of socks and blankets and pillows and you know, I had a ramen bowl that was Golden Girls themed. I mean, just everything you could possibly imagine. Yeah. How about you? Did you get anything good?
Yeah, like we all got fans. Like there's nice. This table and like, I'm so uncoordinated. Like, you know, like you just like open up really fast to start fanning. Oh. I can't do that. I have to like slowly open slowly. It up. Yeah.
Fan. Well, that's why you're Rose, right? You got to take it a step at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, we got that. I got a couple of shirts. I got a shirt for Chelsea who was on. She was on my Golden Girls episode and like my tribute to Betty White episode. Uh-huh. And like, I usually try to get like my guests, like a little something to thank them for being on my program. So like I got her a shirt to send. I actually sent it off today.
Good job being on top of things.
Yeah. Oh, well, I try to be, but, what else did I get? Like, yeah, I got a couple of t-shirts. I got, the book of references from the mm-hmm. show.
Yep.
Because like I would end up having to Google some things.
Right.
And just yesterday I got my younger daughter, Lynn, to watch 2 episodes with me. We awesome. Watched It's a Miserable Life. Mm-hmm. And she just thought it was awesome that Rose killed Peter Claxton. And then we saw the Isn't It Romantic episode. She liked that one too. And I had to explain who Danny Thomas was.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Stuff.
So
that's like, so awesome.
Cause like she's an even further a generation away, but like I was one of those kids who would just, I mean, cause like I wasn't around when Make Room for Daddy was on, but right. I would watch Nick at Night and stuff. So I was one of those weird kids who would stay up late and make myself learn those things. But even so, there would still be some things that would go over my head. So I'm happy I have this guide now that I can kind of.
That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't see that there. I'll have to see if I can order one.
Matt Brownie. Mm-hmm. I heard he was going to be there when I was on Barrett's show. It's called So Good We Named It. That's the name of the podcast. Yeah. And they talk about Golden Girls and Golden Palace and stuff. It's not always an episode by episode, but it's pretty funny. Him and Kay, like they did a lot of the hosting at Golden Con. So they got to interview different people and stuff. So yeah, that was pretty cool. So, and he kept talking about it. So I got that. And I also got like this Betty White book. Like it was like 100 pictures.
Yeah.
So I got that. I saw that one.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about showing it to your daughter and it's so funny. I started, you know, I've talked about it. My daughter, you know, by the age of 2 could identify each mm-hmm. of them based on a picture, right? But she hadn't watched the show much. So right before I left for the trip, we were watching some of it and we saw the first episode where Sophia gets married, you know, to Max Weinstock. And it's funny because then they had her wedding dress. So Estelle mm-hmm. Getty's assistant had brought the dress from the show. And I remember the first day I took a picture and I texted it to my husband. I said, you have to show this to Emma. You know, they have the dress of the episode. And she was so excited. I got home and she's been talking about it and told me how she went to school and told all her friends that she just watched the Golden Girls episode with the wedding dress. And then my mom got to see it. And her friends are probably like, what are you talking about? What is the Golden Girls? I'm 9. I don't know what that means. But mm-hmm. it's so funny, you know. And then my son, he he asked me if I was going to a Golden Girls party because he kept, you know, he would FaceTime me and I'd be in the Golden Girls wig and he knows from Halloween and everything, the Golden Girls. Yeah. And we were at a restaurant the other night and out on the patio, there was an older couple of four, two men and two women and with white hair. And my son starts screaming and pointing, Golden Girls, because he thought it was the Golden. And I had to be like, shh. Don't call every old people person the Golden Girls. But it's such a cool thing to pass it on to your kids, you know, and mm-hmm. just even if it takes a little explaining references and stuff, it's neat to see them laugh and smile and appreciate it.
Yeah. So it sounds like if there was going to be a Golden Con next year that you would be there.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Yeah. I posted and told him to try to do it in San Diego, the home of Comic-Con, right? But I heard a lot of people are asking for Miami, which uh-huh. makes sense, obviously. So we'll see. I thought Chicago was awesome. I've never been to Chicago. Mm-hmm. Sorry, my son just came in. Thank you.
No, it's okay.
There we go.
But yeah, like, I definitely want to go next year. And like, if I could, like, suggest something for them to do, I think it'd be cool if they did some type of like bake off.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And it could just be something that's just going on throughout the day, and they pick their people who they're gonna bake, and maybe they bake something right. from one of the books or just yep. like some type of Golden Girls inspired thing.
And that'd be so cool.
Yeah, because I actually have one of the cookbooks and I want to kind of make one of the treats in there.
That's awesome. Or like even a cheesecake contest or some sort of cookie yes. decorating. I mean, there's so many things that you could do with something like that. That's such a cool idea.
Because I was disappointed that the cheesecake wasn't, because like we have like Eli's cheesecake. That's like a big yep. deal. And uh-huh. I'm like, why couldn't we? I don't know. Maybe it was something with like vendors. You can only have certain vendors sure. or something sure. like that.
Yeah. But I know they had like, some sponsors too that were, yeah. you know, food vendors. So.
Yeah, because like the cheesecake was a little lackluster, to be yeah. honest. Like, there's no fruit or
exactly. No, I mean a cheesecake bar or something, right? Would have been really mm-hmm. neat. Some sort of, but you know, that's why it's the first year, and that's why you keep yeah. building and growing. And you know, it seems like the organizers are pretty receptive to oh, ideas. You know, and I'm sure everybody and their uncle has an idea for them. So
and karaoke.
Oh, absolutely. I am 1,000% with you on karaoke. That's what I was saying, like the talent show on the cruise. Mm-hmm. That was one of the cool things. A lot of people did. They had a karaoke night as well. And I get with a big group of people, it's hard, but you could have a lottery. There's lots of ways you could do it. I think that mm-hmm. would be really, really, really neat. Dance off something, you know?
mm-hmm. So we're coming to the close. Is there anything that you know, want to promote?
Sure. You know, I would say, my big thing is, you know, everybody should vote. I mm-hmm. feel very strongly about it. You know, whatever your politics are, whatever your views are. I think one thing that was great about the show is just that it revealed so many taboo issues and normalized a lot of things that were not accepted back in the 80s. And that's why the show is to the test of time. And the only way to make your voice heard and kind of promote change is to get your voice out there and vote. So that's what I tell everyone whenever they ask me. Any advice, you really just getting out there, make your voice heard. You might be one person, but if every one person goes out and does it, then your voice is a lot bigger.
All right. Great. So thank you again for coming on and doing this with me.
And thank you for asking me.
Yeah. And listeners, you know where to find me. I am on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Got rid of the website. It wasn't really kind of worth it. Maybe I'll bring it back again. I don't know. But Quirky Podcast, Quirky Pop, look me up. Tell me what you think about episodes. Or, you know, if you have an idea of a show that you'd like me to do, let me know. And we will see you next time.